Grandma, when you moved away from home, how old were you?
When I moved away from home, I was 18 years old. Mm-hmm. But I had already gotten married the previous year because your grandpa was going to go to the service. And so we decided mm-hmm. to get married. And then I stayed with my parents until your grandpa came back from the service. And that was in 1952. Then we moved in with his parents again until we had a place of our own. So we had a little apartment, a one-bedroom apartment on Ojai Street in Santa Paula. And we lived there for, I don't know, maybe a few months.
Grandpa, how old were you when you went to the service?
Oh, gosh. I must have been 20. I must have been 20 mm-hmm. when I went into the service. I went to Camp Roberts and had my basic training there. And then when I went through the basic training on my furlough is when we got married.
Oh.
So I was already 21. And I was home for 2 weeks. And we married and went on our honeymoon. And then I went back to Camp Stolman and shipped out to Korea. I shipped out to Korea, and I was in Korea for August through May, Lou. Yeah. It was 1950 and 51, and then I left the service in 51. It was probably July. July of 51.
It was actually in 52 because we married in June of 51.
52. Okay. I came home and came to work for my dad.
Where was the first home that the two of you had? It was outside of your parents' home.
The first home
that we had?
Ojai Street apartment.
We moved to some apartments. There was a duplex that belonged to this lady named Mrs. Fierros, and they were fairly new.
Mm-hmm.
And so we rented one of those apartments. It was a one bedroom. The one in front was ours.
Oh.
And it was, to me, it was no different than being in my own, moving away from my parents, mm-hmm. because, well, it was a little different because with my parents, we had furniture, we had everything we needed, you know.
Mm-hmm.
My mother had a refrigerator, had a nice gas stove
mm-hmm.
that my brothers had bought for her, living room furniture, a rug, drapes. And when we moved into our apartment, we didn't have anything.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't have any money to buy, except we bought a little stove that cost us $45, I think.
$15.
$15.
And we bought that cash, and, you know. And
yeah.
And we bought a refrigerator that cost us $200, a Servel,
wow.
gas, and we got that on payments.
It was a Servel, it ran on gas.
Wow.
It was a really good refrigerator.
Uh-huh.
We didn't have a bed, we didn't have furniture. My brother Gilbert loaned us a bed. And loaned us some sectionals.
On a table.
And
what does that mean? Sectionals?
Sectional, they were a set of sofa, couch.
Uh-huh.
They used to
oh.
call them sectionals because you take them apart.
Oh.
And you can put one in the corner and one over
yeah,
here.
Yeah, yeah.
I came home one day in January and I told your grandpa, George, I'm pregnant. And he looked at me and he said, we have to buy a TV. And I looked at him and I thought to myself, a TV? What is he talking about? A crib, baby clothes? No, nothing like that. And then I looked at him and then he says, well, if we're going to have a baby, we won't be able to go anywhere. That was his takeoff on
That's
the baby.
True.
Nobody had it was in 53, there was hardly anyone that had televisions, but we had a television.
Wow.
That's all we hope.
You know, your grandpa has priorities.
How much was a TV back then?
That one must have been a couple of $100 or $300 maybe.
Maybe $300.
$300.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you were asking us how hard it was for us to move away from our parents' home.
Yeah.
And live away from them. I didn't have a hard time at all.
Mm-hmm.
Because I was living close to my mother and my dad, and my sister was there. And so every day I could walk down and be, and
oh,
be with them.
Oh, you could
so
just walk
I could just
to their
walk.
House?
It was only like 2 blocks.
Oh,
you know?
Wow.
I could walk. I could walk to my
they
parents'
They also
home.
Lived on Ojai Road, or?
They lived on it's on the freeway now, but the 11th Street below Harvard, the streets ran right into the river.
Mm-hmm.
And there were short streets, and that's where my parents had their home. Uh-huh. And so where I lived was above the river, above the Harvard, but it was only like a block and a half from my parents' home. So I could go visit them every day. I could walk over there every day and visit with them. So I didn't have a hard time adjusting at all. Mm-hmm. I don't know if your grandpa did. I think he had a harder time than I did.
I don't know. just seemed like the thing to do. Actually, you know, we lived in back of the store. There was one bedroom for the girls in the back, and then the bedroom for the boys in front, and then the kitchen, and then my dad and mom's bedroom over here.
But I think he missed his mom. I think he missed your mom.
Oh, I did.
Yeah, I think he missed,
and home cooking and.
they were probably the hardest things.
I didn't
cook the way his mother did. So, you know, it was hard for him to get used to that.
Well, it was, the store was there, and they would deliver pies every day, almost, and we would go inside, and I wanted apple pie, I'd take an apple pie, and somebody else wanted a cherry pie, they'd take,
I mean,
it was.
Not when we were paying rent and not making a whole lot of money, he couldn't afford to buy a pie every time he wanted it.
And not only that, you know, when, like in the summer when we were all at home, my mother would get up and she would cook beans that night, and then the next day she would refry them and make potatoes, fried potatoes and eggs.
Mm-hmm.
And so then as each one of the men went into the kitchen to eat, they would each take a half a pound of bacon. So,
oh my God.
So when you go to a restaurant and they give you two slices and you're looking like, where's the rest of it, you know? Because we weren't used to eating two slices of bacon. We were used to eating half a pound.
Didn't you get to have some groceries from the store, though, even when you moved out?
We had to pay for them. We had to be careful not to overspend.
But when we were home, you know, we had everything we needed. Mm-hmm. We had everything we needed. And my dad, I would tell my dad, Dad, I need a new pair of shoes. And he'd say, mijo, go to the register and take what money you need.
Mm-hmm.
He wouldn't say, take $5. At that time, maybe $20 was more than enough for a pair of shoes.
Mm-hmm.
You could buy tennis shoes for $5, $3 maybe. Mm-hmm. But nobody wore tennis shoes. I mean, nobody that could afford shoes wore tennis shoes, is what I...
There was a stigma. It was a stigma. If you wore tennis shoes, it meant you were poor.
Not only that, your feet smell.
And nobody wore Levi's because that's what the laborers wore. And it was also a stigma. You didn't wear. You were poor if you wore that kind of clothes, you know.
How things get turned around?
Slacks and
I didn't have any problem.
Shoes or something?
When I was living at home, I didn't have any problem with it because my brothers worked, and they always gave my sister and I money to buy whatever we needed. We needed shoes, we needed clothes.
Yeah.
So we always had money to spend, to go to the movies, to buy magazines, which is what I used to love to do. And so, and my father used to give us an allowance, uh-huh. And at that time, 50 cents a week was a lot of money, because it only used to cost a dime to go to the movies.
Oh, that sounds nice.
So and that way, my sister and I were lucky, because we had our brothers at work, and shared their paycheck with us.
Yeah.
So we always had money to buy fabric, to make clothes, you know.
Uh-huh.
Well, we never went to the movies because we were always busy. We were always working. My dad would, even when we were little, he would say, we need to sweep the store. So we swept the store. Dad, I'm done sweeping the store. Oh, we need to pick up papers outside. Okay. And it just on and on and on and on. It never ended. When you were, all your chores were done, then he'd say, well, here's a duster, dust the cans. So we couldn't go to the movies. We couldn't go. He just kept us busy all the time, and we didn't go any place. We didn't go any place. We just stayed in the store.
I guess I was lucky because I sometimes went to the movies twice a week. Sometimes we'd go on the weekend, one day maybe Saturday or Sunday,
uh-huh.
And then during the week, my brother Jim would invite my sister and I to go to the movies with him. Mm-hmm. And so we'd go like on Wednesday or on Thursday to the movies again, you know.
Oh,
so,
wow. That sounds nice.
Yeah, it was nice. It was nice.
What's one thing that you learned because you moved out of your parents' house?
I think the one thing you learn is that you need to think of tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you're home, you don't worry because somebody else is in charge, you know. But when you're in charge, you have to worry about tomorrow. You have to know who's going to pay the rent, who's going to, you know, who's going to do, and where's the money coming from, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And you need to kind of keep ahead of the game, you know. Trying to get a better job and trying to better yourself. I didn't go to college, but maybe I should have. but now, you know, now I think trying to prepare yourself for things that you expect. You expect to try and buy a home and, you know, stay ahead. I was always working. I was always working. Working Sundays, holidays. I always worked because it meant more money.
Mm-hmm.
And I made pretty good money. We had a good living. We had several new cars and finally when we got to the store, it was a different life. It was completely different because we had to dedicate our whole lives to the store.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't like a day job that you go home and that's it. No. It continues on, you know,
mm-hmm.
worrying about things, motors breaking and whatever else.
What I learned moving out from my parents' home is that I could do a lot of things that I hadn't done when I was home, that I should have done, but I was lazy and I didn't do them. But when I had my own place, then I knew that it was nobody who was going to do it, so I had to do it, you know.
Yeah.
I had to do it, and the cooking was maybe one of the hardest, because I knew how to cook, but I didn't know how to cook the way he was used to eating, you know.
Did your mom teach you?
My mom taught me how to cook. I could cook a lot of things.
Mm-hmm.
Cook a lot of things, but when he came home from the service, I didn't cook him the things that I knew how to cook, because I had been around his family long enough to know that he wasn't going to like what I cooked.
What was the difference between
There was a big difference.
Types of food
there was a big difference because my mother had been raised in El Paso.
Uh-huh.
She had been raised in El Paso. They moved from Mexico when she was 40 days old. So they did Tex-Mex. The cooking was Texas style.
How is it different?
It's a difference than people that cook Mexican food. And his mother had been raised in Mexico, in
mm-hmm.
Michoacan, where the cooking is Mexican cuisine. And it's more refined. It's more, you know, there's more to the cooking than just plain tacos and enchiladas and stuff like that, you know. And the kind of cooking that they did in Texas was totally, totally different than what they did in Michoacan. It was just to eating.
Was there different seasonings or ingredients?
Different seasons and different ingredients and different ways of rolling the tortilla. You either roll it for the enchilada or you lay it flat, and the flat ones, as far as his family was concerned, was, you know, was a no-no.
Really?
People didn't know how to... If you made flat enchiladas, they didn't know how. So I would hear his aunt and his mother talking about all the food that was a no-no, and I thought, I'm not gonna make that. Oh, wait a minute, this is what my mother makes, I'm not gonna make it. Oh, no, I can't, no.
What other types of food besides flat enchiladas?
But his mother would make buñuelos, and the buñuelos that they made were hard.
Uh-huh.
But when they put sugar in them, then they were crystallized like frosted flakes.
Uh-huh.
My mother made buñuelos, and also they were hard. But then she put them in the syrup, and the syrup was not hard. It was just syrup, and then we put the balloons in there, and they were soft, and you would eat them soft. You put them in a bowl, and they were soft, a little bit like a pirotada, but runnier, you know.
Uh-huh.
And that's the way we made our buñuelos.
Oh.
So I left home. I never made them. I used to have something called sopaipillas. That they make in Texas and they make in New Mexico.
Sopaipillas,
they used to call them.
Oh, I heard about that recently.
Yeah, you make them out of the, if you have tortilla dough from a tortilla, you can make them out of that.
Uh-huh.
Or you can make a special dough for them. And my mother used to make those, but his family, they didn't think that was a great thing, so I never made them
what
since I
the,
left
what
home.
What do they like, though, the sopapilla?
You, it's probably like Indian fry bread.
Uh-huh.
You roll out the tortilla and you fry it in oil or in lard.
Uh-huh.
Something like that, uh-huh. Yeah.
Lard.
Yeah, lard. That's what people use
at
the time.
You know, people used to use lard as butter.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, during the war.
Well, a lot of people used to take a tortilla and put lard in it.
And salt.
And salt.
And salt, yeah. During the war, that's what they did, what my grandma did.
She went, I was going to ship out, and Camp Solomon is Pittsburgh, California. You know where that is?
No.
It's beyond San Francisco.
Oh.
It's beyond San Francisco. Pittsburgh, California. Anyway, I was going to ship out, and they told us we were going to be there a few more days. And so I called her and told her to come over. And she came on the train from Oxford.
How long did it take?
It took a whole night. It took a whole night to get there. Yeah, and I say I went in the train and I sat down and I didn't get up off of that seat till I got to San Francisco. So I was only 17 years old, you know. I was scared.
Oh, yeah, I'd
never been anywhere
on a
train. And you go in a train car that's full of soldiers.
Did you say goodbye, Santa Paula?
Not that time. I should have. That time I should have. I didn't say it. I was only 11 years old when I said that. It was only 8 years later.
But you, I had a room ready for you, didn't I?
You said you had a room, but when I got there, there was nothing.
No, there was a room.
No, I had to share it with somebody else.
No, not at the camp.
We rented it after I got there. We rented the room.
Okay.
Yeah, because I spent a couple. That's where I spent the night. That's where I spent the night at the guest house. One night.
At Camp Roberts.
At Camp Stoneman.
No.
One
Camp
night.
Camp Roberts.
And I spent one night. At Camp Roberts, I spent the night, I don't know where.
Where is Camp Roberts?
In the guest house you spent it. Supposedly you took somebody else's place, sir.
That's what, in Camp Roberts, you said, no, you just take that room. There's nobody there. And it was upstairs. It was an earthquake that night. But that in Camp Stoneman, George, in Camp Stoneman, I went and there was no room. You had said you had reserved your room, but when I got there, there was no room.
Maybe
the lady said, there's nothing, she says. There's nothing except there's one room that has another bed. If you don't mind sharing it with a colored lady.
She actually said that? That's crazy.
Yeah, she asked me. But I said, I don't mind. I said, London, they got a bed, I don't care.
Wow, that's really mean.
Mm-hmm. She asked me, we have one room, we have one bed in a room, but there's a colored lady there.
And
in the
that's just weird.
It's gross.
Say that. That's terrible.
It's gross, yeah.
Those were the times.